Our scriptures are taken from Matthew 5, 1 to 7, and Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And now from Matthew 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he, his wife, and his children, and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and he began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Terry. Buenos dias, iglesias. Good morning, church. It's good to be together in God's presence, gathered in the name of Jesus as family, led by the Spirit and desiring to know God. My name is Davis, and it's my joy and honor to share God's word with you this morning. And we will pick up from where we left off. For as we have been on a journey for quite some time now, immersed in a sermon series called What God Loves, focusing on the Beatitudes or blessings pronounced by Jesus at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. Last time, we explored the Beatitude. God loves and blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But today we delve into yet another profound beatitude that I'm calling a beatitude of mercy. In a message entitled, "God Loves and Blesses the Merciful," based on Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, which reads, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive or obtain mercy from the Lord." I might have told this story before, but it's expedient for us to tell it again because of our subject matter. A story is told of a mother who approached the first Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a specific offense twice, and justice demanded death. "But I don't ask for justice," the mother exclaimed. "I plead for mercy. But your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon replied. "Sir," said the woman, as she cried out, "it will not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy on him." And he spared the woman's son. Because as you and I know from Scripture, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You find that in James chapter 2, verse 13b. Now, like the woman's son, this powerful story should not only humble us, but also fill us with gratitude upon realizing the undeserved nature of God's mercy, which he extends to us even when we do not deserve it. Justice ensures that we get what we deserve for our sins and shortcomings. For Scripture says, "For the wages of sin is death." But mercy embraces compassion for the suffering and needy. It also embraces forgiveness for guilty sinners like you and me. Even though justice condemned us to perish, God has given us mercy because of his love. He has not given us what we deserve. Therefore, it is our responsibility as children of God, recipients of God's mercy, to point number one, show compassion to those in need who suffer among us, in our communities, neighborhoods, and around the world. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 8 to 10, in the ESV says, "And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, visitor, or the alien among you, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." Zechariah highlights four admonitions about what God wants from each one of us. Execute true justice without partiality or bias. Show mercy and compassion to each other. Do not oppress the poor, the vulnerable, the marginalized, and the voiceless. And do not devise evil against another in your heart. I think you do remember that we began with a series about what God hates. And we talked about the seven abominable things that God hates. So one of those is devising evil in your heart and planting seeds of dissension, discord, and conflict among brothers and sisters. In case you're wondering, mercy is a feeling of compassion, empathy, and sadness for the suffering of others. It means to yearn inwardly with affection and pity for those in need. Compassion demands that we acknowledge and support others in their moments of weakness, vulnerability, loneliness, and misery. It entails being moved by their needs and then venturing out to help carry their burdens. It requires that we roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty to help those in need. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 16 says, remember to do good and to share what you have, for God is pleased with these kinds of sacrifices. And then Proverbs has this wisdom in chapter 3 verse 27. Don't withhold good from someone who deserves it when it is in your power to help. John, the elder, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, says, if someone has enough money or possessions to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion whatsoever, how can God's love be in that person? If that's you, you should ask yourself, how can God's love be in me? If I see my brother and sister needing help and refusing to lift my pinky to help. Saints, how well do we see and empathize with the suffering, the needy and vulnerable, and show compassion by doing something to help them to God's glory and not for personal gain or praise from people? We do not help people to make a name or to buy their allegiance. We help people to make their life better, but we have to remember it is to the glory of God and not for our own personal gain. Do we speak out on behalf of the marginalized? Do we? Do we speak out for the underprivileged and the voiceless, far and near? Or do we disregard their plight? Do we care about people who have been wounded by life and are hurting? Or do we have apathy that limits us from seeing the misery of others? Do we get inconvenienced by the sorrows and challenges of other people? Do we? How then can we show compassion to other people in practical ways? We show compassion by giving food to the hungry or a glass of water to the thirsty, visiting the sick, comforting the hurting, and calming the lonely and anxious, and going above and beyond the call of duty. Compassion is also demonstrated when we weep with the grieving, sit in the ashes with those experiencing loss and tragedy, and offer encouragement, prayer, tangible help. And not just say, if you need anything, call me. Reach out to me. But taking the initiative to reach out because you see that somebody needs help without them asking for it. We also need to give time and treasure to alleviate their suffering and sorrow. Deuteronomy chapter 15 verse 11 says, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brother or sister and those who are poor and needy in the land. Be willing to lay down your life for another. That's the gospel. And that's what Jesus did for us. Which brings us to our second and last point. Having been recipients of mercy, our calling is to withhold punishment from offenders and forgive those who trespass against us, just as God forgave us. A pastor was pulled over for speeding while hurrying to save the Lord. A police officer showed him mercy and let him off with a verbal warning on him. But feeling grateful, the pastor forgot the act of kindness he received and was pulled over again by another police officer for speeding just a mile and a half later. We don't learn, do we? He pleaded for mercy like he did the last time. Have mercy on me. It looked like he would get mercy twice until the previous police officer showed up. After being scolded, the pastor received a hefty speeding ticket. He concluded the story by affirming that God has a way of imposing justice on us when we don't appreciate mercy enough to change. Mercy has power to change your life and your disposition in life and draw you closer and closer to God. But if you choose to pour cold water on mercy, you will receive justice. It's a matter of time. Watch this space. Jesus became sin for us, who knew no sin. We were forgiven our sins and didn't get the punishment we deserved. By God's mercy, we were made to be God's righteousness. Let's appreciate mercy enough to continue in righteousness and show mercy to others because we have received it freely and should give it away freely. Jesus said, freely you have received and freely give. If you do not forgive others, their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive your sins. That's Mark 11, verse 26. Peter, being the overzealous individual he was, asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Seven times? Jesus answered, 77 times. In other words, all the time. Matthew 18, verse 21. Since God wants our lives to overflow with mercy and compassion toward others, because these are the marks of his kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let righteousness reign in the land. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is the kingdom of God. That's the definition of the kingdom of God. As followers of Jesus, we must not respond to the world's brokenness with apathy, indifference, and withdrawal, but emulate Jesus by responding in love, hope, mercy, and compassion. That's easier said than done. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 13 would say, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, are you ready for this? Forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Underline the word must. You must forgive. In the parable of the unmerciful servant in our cross-reference, Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35, Jesus equates mercy with forgiveness. A man who owes a lot of debt, 10,000 bags of gold, is forgiven by his master and set free. Yet he in turn sends to prison a man who owes him a tiny debt in comparison, 100 silver coins. So the master called him in and said, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? The master then handed him over to the tormentors until he repaid his debts. And Jesus concludes in verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Since God's mercy must propel us to extend forgiveness to those who trespass against us, as we forgive one another, the kingdom of God is manifested in our hearts and among us. We become a true community of faith. And we make a difference in our world, full of hatred, and unforgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 32 in the New International Version would say, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ, just as in Christ God forgave you. We sometimes expect God and others to show us mercy, grace, and forgiveness. But when someone else offends us, all hell breaks loose. Nobody is happy. We tend to judge and condemn them. It's like Jonah's story in the Old Testament, who could not understand why God would show compassion to people he deemed unworthy. So what makes other people unworthy of mercy when you yourself have received mercy from God? That's not adding up. In Luke chapter 9, verse 52 to 56, Jesus sent messengers to a Samaritan village on his way to Jerusalem to prepare for his arrival. However, the village people, being Samaritans, did not want to welcome Jesus because he was a Jew going to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, they said to Jesus, Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? Or to burn them up? But Jesus turned and rebuked them, saying, the Son of Man did not come to destroy lives, but to serve them. To serve them. He is our Savior. So they went on to another village. The Samaritan village encounter exposed what was in the disciples' hearts: vindictiveness, revenge, fury, bitterness, and unforgiveness. How dare you? When we seek revenge, condemnation, and unforgiveness, we are not being different from the disciples who wanted to call fire from heaven simply because they did not get their way. At last, somebody said no. And I know sometimes we have issues with the word no. So we disrespect other people's boundaries because we can't take the word no. Jesus rebuked them and asked, today, we should be merciful and forgiving to others, mainly because they don't deserve it. And that's why it is called mercy. We don't earn mercy. It's a gift. Therefore, we must exhibit kindness and compassion in all our relationships. It is unacceptable before God for us to harbor resentment and use past errors as weapons against each other. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown or obtain mercy. What does obtain mercy mean? What does that phrase, obtain mercy, mean? To obtain mercy is to receive compassion in our weakness and trials. Jesus has perfect knowledge of the help that we require, which assures us that we will get help in our time of need if we show compassion and forgive others, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Matthew 6 verse 14 to 15 says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. as we approach the end, do we exhibit compassion, sympathy, empathy, and concern for the less privileged, the fortunate, unfortunate, and those who are vulnerable? Or do we act maliciously, seeking revenge, retribution, and retaliation? In what ways do we fall short of forgiving others and therefore fail to respond correctly to the mercy we ourselves have received? Are we being kind to those who do not deserve mercy? Are we taking God's mercy for granted by holding on to our sinful ways and not forgiving our adversaries? Please, let's answer those questions in our hearts. If we are found wanting, we should confess our sins to God. And are you ready for this? Repent. Change course. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 would say, if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse our hearts from all manner of unrighteousness. And somebody said, amen. Let's pray. I will allow just a moment of silence so we can reflect on what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing in our hearts as individuals. What do you think God is saying to you? And what do you think God wants you to do about what you heard today? God our Father in heaven, God of love, God of mercy and grace, God of compassion, thank you for the mercy that you have shown us, even when we did not deserve your mercy. But because you so loved the world that you gave your Son to die on our behalf as a ransom for our sins, and that in him we may become the righteousness of God. Please help us to show others mercy, compassion, to forgive those who trespass against us. Let our hearts be softened against people who cause us pain, people who continue to hurt us. Help us to accept mercy, but also give them mercy. And help us to change and not take mercy for granted. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform our lives so we can be all you have called us to be. Help us to be benevolent, helping the poor, the needy, and those who can't thrive in this world. If we have more money and material things, help us to share with the needy. Please convict us by your Spirit and help us as we prepare our hearts to take action about what we heard today. As we reflect on this word, we ask that Lord Jesus will grow from one level of grace to the other. In Jesus' name we have prayed, and somebody in the house said amen. Thank you, saints. God bless you.
Church, would you rise for a blessing? A good word, a benediction as you go. From Micah 6:8. Church, as you go this week, being captivated by the mercy God has shown you, and seeking to live out lives of mercy. I'd like to leave you with these instructions from Micah 6:8, that God has shown us what is good, and what does the Lord require of us? So church, may you go acting justly and loving mercy and walking humbly with your God. Go in peace. Amen.